Is that friendly to seconder, Martha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? Where's Michael? I guess we'll vote without Mike Sigler. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. On to Resolution B. This is appropriation from contingent fund, expanded transition program, reentry initiative, opportunities, alternatives, and resources, OAR. Who'd like to move that? Martha moves it. And who'd like to second?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Can we try? I would need to be an explanation, is sort of what I'm interested.
Okay, take your time.
That's a 3-minute read.
Mike, I have some other data around that resolution. Should I hand it out now?
Just pause for 1 second. If you overload people, they'll come crashing. They'll implode. It might be a big mess.
Mike, why are we voting on these now?
Simply because one of the agency heads is here already, was here for an earlier presentation, and we thought we would not have them hold up all the way to the end of the meeting. But if it's not going to be...
Why are we even voting on this meeting? Why aren't we voting on this?
Because
meeting?
The regular budget committee is not having its regular meetings. Usually they meet the first and third, or second and fourth Mondays of the month. Because we act as expanded budget committee, we have to take up some of the regular business.
I think my question may have been, why is this coming up now? Why is this not the whole issue?
This has been recommended through committee, and something that's recommended through committee does come to budget and capital before it comes to the full legislature. So it's a regular committee action. If we do not take this up now, that's fine. It will just come to the legislature with only one committee recommending it. That's perfectly legitimate.
And who recommended it already?
Public safety.
That public safety. 3-2.
Are there any? Let's get it moved and on the floor. Martha had moved it. Is there a second? Dooley seconds. Questions? Frank Frodo.
Thanks, Mike. This is to get us through, or get you through till the end of the year. Deb?
This money will actually carry OAR into 2009. We asked last year. Many of you have forgotten, I've forgotten myself. In our budget deliberations last year when we brought it to you all, we requested $35,000 for the transitional reentry work OAR was doing. Leslin, at that time, was chairman of public safety and wanted more data and more results before making this appropriation. We've now got more data on the expanded transition work that OAR has been doing over the past, since January this year. And I have a chart about it, too, to give you an idea of it. And I'm now asking for that appropriation. Failing this appropriation, OAR will be doing either a layoff or a reduction of hours in November of this year.
Well, follow up?
Sure, Frank.
Deb, what, I mean, if this is to carry through to 2009, why wouldn't this be considered in the regular budget process? As a 2009 request.
It was an original 2008 request, and it's needed. A good chunk of this is needed to get us through, as I just said, 08, because of November and December.
Martha.
If you see the 1, 2, 3, fourth, whereas $35,000 was earmarked for 2008 in the contingent fund, this request is for $30,000. So that's one part of it. I would like to, and you mentioned that you have other data. If you've got got other numbers to pass out,
I do.
Okay. It's time.
What?
It's time to pass them out.
Sorry, here are a few charts.
And in the break, Deb just pointed out that there's a. If you'd explain the bold type and the italics.
Carol, sure.
What was the vote at the public safety?
3-2.
The bold, the names that are, the names, not the names, the number of the clients that are in bold are those that are also in the official county reentry program. Many of them were accepted into the program after OAR had done fairly extensive work with them. This is the first page we're talking about on that chart. The bottom two are felony probation clients who had needs that were outside of the scope of the probation department. The rest of the chart are those that did not qualify for the county reentry program or were not accepted. So there's, I think, you know, there are 36 people in total that we've worked with. This is also about a month old now. It was put together about 3 weeks ago.
Are there any further questions? Reed? Dooley?
You just said that page two people didn't qualify for the program, but they're in it? I didn't understand what you just said.
No. On the first page?
The second page.
On the second page, those are people who did not qualify for the official county reentry program and yet were in need of transitional services. And what OAR has learned through our work through that reentry program is a lot, made a lot of contacts, we've learned a lot through that collaborative work, and we've expanded it to the additional people you see there that did not qualify for the official reentry program.
Final questions, Martha and Frank.
Could you describe what is it required to qualify for the county reentry program?
Those folks that are sentenced to a year or less in county jail. Sometimes it has to be a fairly decent stretch of time because they go through a targeting success program. It's a PowerPoint program that's run by the jail coordinator when they're in jail. There's a lot of footwork to do to get things in order for them. And people who are in rehab, who go to rehab, many people choose rehab rather than county jail time, and those people are not do not qualify for the official county reentry program. However, we find that when people come back from St. Joe's or wherever they've gone for rehab, they're still in need of intense transitional services.
Thank you. And Frank Proto.
Deb, based on the discussion that took place at the Public Safety Committee meeting the other day, is any of this need precipitated by a delay in information coming from any other participating organization, entity, department, or whatever in the county?
You would ask me that, Frank, wouldn't you?
Well, you don't have to.
No.
To
be honest, we are still hopeful that we'll be receiving the state funding that we have sought, applied for, and been doing the work for the last, since January or February of this year, we've been doing the work for DPCA funding. We've not yet received any money from the state. Pending information from another from a department head that has not yet been received. However, this was money that we initially requested in the 08 budget from the county to allow us to continue to do our work. The other piece, quite honestly, is this allows us to continue at five FTE funding people. And that's allowed us to really increase the number of bails we've done really substantially even over last year, which was a substantial increase over the previous year. So,
and our next vote will deal with some bail issues as well. Are we ready to vote?
Well, wait a minute. One more, Mike.
Sure.
Because of that, if the money from the state comes, yeah, will you reimburse the contingent fund?
That is not the intention, no. We still need the money to get through 09. At five FTEs.
Ready to vote. All in favor? This is an expanded budget committee. It's a majority of those present. If it doesn't pass committee, it'll still come to legislature next Tuesday. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? 4. Opposed? 2, 3. That's 3 opposed, so that's... Carol, I didn't see your hand, but you must have been in favor.
Oh, I'm not on this committee.
It's the expanded budget committee, actually.
Oh, then I'll vote in favor of
it. Okay, so that passes 5-3. I'm going to go on to our legislative meeting next Tuesday. On to Resolution C. If it's not going to move quickly, I will postpone it to the end of the meeting. We have a lot of department heads waiting, and I was doing this to honor a request if it was going to move quickly.
Take a chance.
This is a bail fund, $10,000 request from contingency fund to increase the number of bales and the frequency of rotation of the bale fund to lower our outboarding, or boarding out, I should say. Frank moves it. Dooley seconds. Is there any discussion? Mike Sigler.
Didn't we do this once already this year?
We did it last November as a one-time. I don't believe so.
Yes.
It may blur together, but we did it one-time funding.
We gave them extra money sometime during the year. We certainly did, because the comment was made, we haven't done this very often before, and the information came back saying we've never done it before. So this is the second time this year. This will be the second time this year.
I thought that was 10,000.
Trust me.
The explanation is with it, but
I can just get
quick. Steve?
What OAR is trying to do is to optimize exactly, you know, up their bail monies. And so there's going to be a point where you could put more money in, it's not going to make any difference at all. But so they came to you first and they said, we're going to add more money, and you know, we're asking to add more money in, we're going to see if we can be more effective. They're proving they're being more effective. They think they can do more with just a little bit more. So you're just trying to get to that optimal level. So it's not like this is going to be a continuous request every 6 months or 12 months or something.
But, Steve, there's also a part two to this. Since we started this program back a number of years ago, when Eric Lerner was running it, there has always been the hope that there'd be contributions coming. And while it might not be appropriate to ask that today, but when this hits the full board meeting, it probably would be helpful to know how successful those fundraising efforts have been over a period of time.
We're not going to ask you to answer that now. Is there any other?
No, and I said that.
Yeah, but she was about to answer it, and I have to. Martha.
It must be a factual, something we can find out for sure, whether this, when the last request
yeah.
and
I'm sure we can look up the date.
I thought it was last November also.
This is one-time funding, 2008 contingency fund, to, as Steve is saying, optimize the threshold of where bail funds can keep people from having to be in the jail. Are we ready to vote?
I have another question.
Sure, thank you. Mike.
So clearly, the money's not getting repaid.
The repayments are taking longer, and the bail threshold is a little bit higher. But the default rate is roughly the same over 10 years. This is information that came out in Public Safety Committee meeting.
And some of the courts take a long time for
that's
bail that's to
the
come
delay.
Back.
Yeah. That's where the delay is.
To come back to OAR.
I mean, I'll say again, I think this is wrong for a government to do this. So,
okay.
I mean, I'm going to be the same forever on this particular issue, just the simple fact that I think if your government's getting involved in something that if the judge doesn't want to set a bail, that's up to the judge. I'm not really sure why this branch of government is walking on that branch of government. But
okay. This is
setting a bail.
It's not setting a bail. It's some low bails that people could be in the community functioning, but they can't post that bail.
Judge could say, hey.
It's been moved by Frank, seconded by Dooley. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That passes with two opposed. Thank you very much. Thank you all for waiting. I'm so sorry that it took a little bit longer than expected. We're going to go back to our regular expanded budget committee meeting of today. Our next office to do a presentation, our department is information technology. We're about almost half hour behind schedule. In our over target request pages, information technology is on pages 6 and 7, and in our large books, page 33. Welcome, Greg. Thank you. You want to summarize anything in general and then move towards OTR requests?
Perfect. The ITS budget and programs and services have not changed significantly over the past 2 years, so there really aren't any changes in the base budget. However, if there are any particular questions related to those line items, I'd be happy to answer them, or any services or programs. We can probably just proceed right into the OTRs, and I'll start, if that's okay, with priority number one, which is a $30,000 one-time request. And this request is to replace the existing server farm for a particular aspect of our network, which is known as the Citrix farm, and that these servers provide remote secure access over the internet to a variety of applications, the primary one being the public safety community. However, there are other internal uses for other county departments, including the Office of Aging, emergency response, mental health, as well as the budget software that we deploy for departments to enter on an annual basis. The need for this is based on the fact that the servers are now 4 years old at the end of their warranty period and life cycle, and will need to be replaced in 2009 in order to keep pace and upgrades with technology and supports. In the audience this evening, I have representatives from the Law Enforcement Technology Shared Services Group, which if they feel may want to come up and express the importance of this project for their agencies as well. And today with us are our Chief Voice from the Cayuga Heights Police Department, Chief Reddy from the Trumansburg Police Department, Sergeant Doug Wright from the Ithaca Police Department, and Ellen Harrison from the Ithaca IT Department. Kim Moore from ITS is also here representing the project. So in order to continue with the Citrix applications that we host and provide the services to county departments and this organization, we are requesting $30,000 one-time OTR.
Before we move on to the next OTR, I want to thank everyone for joining us. What's, you probably have heard this already, but it is being recommended in the budget this time as one-time funding. Unless there's a vote to change it, it will be in the budget. Are there any questions before we move on? Frank Proto.
Greg, I notice in the write-up that these were funded the first time through grant monies. You have a crystal ball to determine if in the next 4 years if there'll be grant monies available to do this again? When the new ones wear out?
There may possibly be. We haven't researched any options at this point. But certainly at the state level, there's the whole, what was called CIMSI. I'm not sure what it's translated to these days, but that is dealing with collaborative shared service between municipalities, certainly which this law enforcement group is doing.
Has that source dried up, or are they all done granting money and we just didn't apply in time?
Steve, do you know, you may know more about that.
I just came from the grant workshop this morning, and I'm going to another one tomorrow morning. There are four cycles still active. I'm trying to think if this would really qualify. I'm really trying to work with new initiatives that it might be worth a shot.
It's just one that came to my head. There's federal possibilities out there as well. We just haven't researched them, Frank. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of money out there for consolidating police forces in various manners, but I think that they're really focused on more of the consolidation of the forces as opposed to supporting hardware or software.
Thanks.
If there's no further questions on that OTR, do you want to explain?
Question.
I'm sorry, Carol.
Yeah. This is near the initial warranty, the end of the initial warranty period. Have you had problems with it, and is there an extended warranty available?
There is no extended warranty. There are no technical problems right now, but we have more and more users on the system and more data. So at a certain point, we will reach the end of the usefulness of those servers. So we have a replacement schedule for servers and PCs. These have actually already reached the end of that replacement schedule.
Thank you, Greg. The maintenance buffer request, priority 2. We got some multi-year funding.
Okay. This is a request for multi-year funding for $5,187. Which is for the cost, annual cost for maintenance and support for a particular piece of software within the GIS program. This is for our online mapping application. And just wanted to note here that this particular project has been developed initially through a grant as well, but now has also extended to include the City of Ithaca through an MOU, and the City of Ithaca has agreed to participate 50% towards the cost of this maintenance. So they'll be picking up half of the cost as proposed. This gets kind of rolled into or bundled with the other annual maintenance costs that we pay to the company ESRI, which is the standard software we use for all GIS applications.
Any questions? Frank Proto?
Greg, your initial request was for about $5,200, and administration, it looks to me like, is only approving $1,000, or am I reading that wrong? Or is the target...
Recapturing some target funds, I believe.
Is that the process that we're using?
Yeah. Yes, you have more revenue coming than you budgeted, so... you have more revenue coming from the assessment office, and... We added it to your budget.
Okay. That's nice to know. Thank you. I wasn't clear on that particular aspect of the budget, but thank you for letting me know, Norma.
So
now we won't plan on using that additional revenue or anywhere else.
In some in a different iteration, it could have been a separate line in this whole budget packet, but Norma just combined them. So the 5187 is still being honored. They just found some revenue to offset it. Further questions, Martha.
So the expenditure is multi-year, or is it one? Is it one?
This is multi-year.
Multi-year.
Yes. This the maintenance of this particular software will extend for the life that we for the period of time that we use it. So it'll be beyond a year.
Okay. So the 4110 is it in their budget, and that means sort of next year he's either going to have to come back for $1,077 or find that somewhere.
That's correct. So this is a known cost. The other revenue in the future is unknown. That's why we asked for the full amount.
But it's a target adjustment.
Multi-year adjustment.
No, the revenue is a target adjustment. There's actually, when I was going through the budget, the assessment office was planning to pay you one number. You had budgeted a little bit less than what they were planning to pay. This is an ongoing payment to your office. That's what the adjustment is. So the target, the revenue is target. So actually, you are spending about $1,000 a year.
Aren't you glad to have found this?
Multi-year.
I appreciate it.
I did talk to your staff.
Well, I didn't hear the news. Sorry.
Any other
I'm
questions?
Confused.
Shall we move to priority 3, maintenance of effort, 8,400 being recommended at 8,400, multi-year.
Okay. This is a project for the purchase of IT services or connectivity services between two county buildings. In essence, it's a fiber optic project. We'd be leasing fiber optics between the core of the county's network hub, which is located at Annex C, and the Human Services Building. Currently, we have a point-to-point wireless connection that runs across over the top of two buildings. However, due to some changes in the structure of connectivity to a New York State network, which is a project called OneNet, we would like to enhance that connection between those two buildings. The state has shifted gears and is rolling out consolidated network drops to all the counties across New York State. They're paying for the circuits from Albany to each location. But we have to pick one location in each county, for instance, in which to have those circuits installed. In our case, it makes more sense to have those circuits installed at the Human Services Building because the majority of the traffic running between Albany and Tompkins County applications is within the Social Services Department. Other applications that use that interface that is currently in place include all the public agencies, public safety agencies, probation, sheriff's department, emergency response, and so forth. And with the also within the LETS program, they also use that connectivity to gain access to Department of Criminal Justice services applications through this connection.
Thanks for the summary. Our in-house guru, computer guru, Frank, will summarize that for us.
I think we ought to change the account name from telephone to something else. Just happened to notice that. But the question I have, how long is the lease for? Are we leasing it from the state of New York?
No, this particular lease would be from a local carrier that would run on we're still looking at the differences in the costs from various local providers. So the term of the contract can range from anywhere from 1 year to 3 years out. So I'm just looking at a one-year period at this point.
Is the contractor reliable and will be around for the term of the lease?
That is our plan and our hope, yes. And there are only a few options for this service. This is actually a new service from companies locally. Most often, companies will not lease fiber optics between one point and another. So, but it is a necessity. Also, we're looking at upgrades, future upgrades for our telephone systems, and this is going to be another critical aspect of that.
I got to keep going. Wait a minute.
Go ahead, Frank.
What about maintenance on the system once? Who's responsible under this lease for
maintenance? The company that we lease from is responsible for maintenance of the connection. They put in a DMARC, or they terminate their connection into these two buildings, and they're responsible for everything in between those two points.
You got that, Frank?
Hey, I'm forwarding copies of stuff to Dooley and everybody else, so I'm...
Is it going to the DMARC, though?
Is it?
Do you have a direct connection?
Are there any further questions for information technology? That particular OTR is being recommended as a multi-year.
Yes. I want to go back to the mapping one,
GIS.
We're talking about a LIDAR, an OTR in planning for LIDAR.
Yes.
Will any of that application be usable on one of your OTRs here?
The data which will result from that LIDAR project will be posted on that GIS application over the Internet. So anyone who's interested, for instance, one of the resulting data sets from that LIDAR project will be new floodplain information. So citizens will be able to zoom in to their particular properties and identify where those boundaries lie with the updates of that floodplain data. Currently, we can't do that because the data is really, the floodplain information is not accurate. But with the new LIDAR flight and that approach, that should not be the case.
Thank you. Aren't you glad that some of us can tie different things together?
I think
together?
It's great. Interdepartmental interface, LIDAR and GIS. I mean, this is great.
Yes.
Greg trained me well.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you for the public safety officials who came to support the $30,000 request. I don't see a need for your testimony, so we'll assume that it will continue to stay in the budget. If there's no questions for IT, we will move on to Public Works. Shifting gears, there's four different divisions that will report to us. The first division is Highway Division. If you want to turn to pages 4 and 5 in your OTR pages, page 20 in your big books, that will help us focus our discussion. Welcome, Ed. Welcome,
hello,
Cheryl.
I just
and
want
Bill
to give a brief intro and overview, and the division managers are all here to answer specific questions you may have and share a couple of their own perspectives on their division budgets. First of all, I would like to say that the divisions and the division managers and their staffs all work very hard to be responsive to the county administration and the county administrator in trying to put together a budget that met your goals. We didn't ask for things to begin with that we might have in some cases, and we were flexible in negotiating with county administration and the county administrator to try to meet what needed to happen to get to your goal. I will qualify that by saying it makes us a little nervous for the long run in some cases. But as you know, two of the Public Works divisions are enterprise units, the County Airport and Solid Waste Management Division, and they are operating and projecting to operate in their budgets totally with revenues that are not part of the general fund revenues, the solid waste fee and the airport revenues from a various number of sources. So those divisions are here, and they will briefly touch on a couple of highlights, but they aren't asking for revenues that affects the tax levy. And I think they're to be commended because it's although the circumstances are different, it takes very intensive management at times to make that happen. And it's particularly for the airport, in a very rapidly and always changing economic environment they're operating under. And I think they'd be commended for continuing to maintain that facility with a high level of service and no burden on the taxpayers. Highway and facilities both face real challenges, particularly this year, highway, because of the rapid escalation in prices for just about everything they use to do their job, and the percentages are shocking in some cases. And right now, for this year's program, including the capital program for road maintenance projects, the five-year program, about a third of the projects will probably have to be deferred because we don't have enough money to complete things that we had hoped to do this year because of escalating costs. And you can kind of see that in the numbers that have been shared about escalating prices. It just is pretty simple and straightforward to understand why that's so. And so therefore, you can anticipate we're falling a little bit behind of where we would have hoped to be, and we'll continue to do that and probably have some issues down the road about extending the capital program or something if we want to continue to maintain the quality of the road system. Facilities in the capital plan that was done in 2006, you know, identified an unfunded need for deferred maintenance. The county administrator has tried to be responsive to repeated requests for more money for that, but we aren't where we need to be by any means at this point in time. The request was for $300,000 is what we need according to the capital plan, additional at this point in time on an annual basis, and $100,000 was included in one-time funding for this year's budget. So you can see we're still not anywhere near where we feel we need to be. We understand the circumstances you're operating under, but these things are going to be out there in the future to deal with. So with that, I'd like to have the division managers come forward and address their budgets. And I'd like to start with the two enterprise operations because I think you may have fewer questions for them, and we can proceed forward more rapidly that way. So. Tom Richardson's here from Solid Waste to talk a little bit about their program and answer your questions.
We got a memo from Solid Waste in your packets, a landscape spreadsheet. And if you want to look in your big books, their base budget is on page 48. Welcome.
Well, this budget for next year maintains the programs and partnerships we've had for over the past few years. There's no real new changes in that budget. Like other county departments, we're heavily dependent on energy costs. Several of our programs, curbside collection of recyclables, which comes up for bid next year. A bit speculative in here, but we think we're going to be pretty close. Next year, we're also bidding out the processing of our recycling center. So that's going to be a pretty big item, which is why we stuck with a three-year budget. There's a lot of speculation in there. We didn't want to get too far out and make it look like there was just too many questions. As I said, it maintains current programs and partnerships. One of those programs I might point out to you, if you check the front page of the county website, is the Go Green Initiative in our county schools. We're about to receive a national recognition for that program, the first county in the country to receive a county Go Green recognition by the National Go Green Initiative.
We all got copies of that on our desk tonight.
Okay.
Congratulations. Please give our congratulations to Lynette.
Okay, and Leo here was heavily involved.
Thank you, and to Barbara and others.
The only other thing I would point out to you is through this three-year budget, we've been able to maintain a $54 annual fee through the course of this three-year budget, which is less than it was over 15 years ago. So you may have to stand on your head because I think I put it in there upside down, but that information is in there. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
There's no increase in the solid waste fee, correct?
Yes, for the next 3 years we're projecting.
Okay. Any other questions? Frank Frodo.
Tom, thanks, and thanks for the help on the recycling as it relates to the various towns because of the participation in the various highway departments. Did I hear you say that the contract for curbside and for recycling is up next year?
Yes.
So what will be the effective date of any new contract?
The curbside is October of next year. The contract for the recycling center is actually 2011.
The reason I ask that is there have been a number of questions raised about the quality of that service. And sometimes residents out in my neck of the woods spend more time picking up debris that's fallen off the recycling truck than goes on the recycling truck. And I think that that plus the center itself needs a little examination. Will there be a representative, an elected official from the town of Ithaca, has approached me on several occasions about starting a program within the recycling center to recapture the metal, you know, the pop cans and whatnot.
The returnable bottles, are you
yes.
talking about?
Has there been, will there, any new contract be able to address that?
We're going to ask contractors for any new initiatives they can provide us. We can ask them to provide us information about any particular initiative we may be interested in. That may be one of them. As far as the litter, if we were to go to single stream, which we may through this new RFP, we're hoping that people can use large totes and not have three and four recycling bins with piled up with plastic along the side of the road that gets blown away. They can put it all in one tote, put a top on it, it gets picked up, and it should save a lot of that litter.
Oh, that might be helpful. Yeah. Really. When do you anticipate drafting the RFP?
For
either curbside or for
the curbside's a straight bid. The RFP, we're developing the RFP for the recycling center now. It's going to take about a year to, you know, put that all together and get some idea of where we're headed with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Martha Robertson.
I just want to add my congratulations in particular. Just, I've told this group before, but take it back that whenever I go visit my son in Philadelphia, I have to make sure the trunk is empty because we bring their recyclers back. So.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Don't we have a flow control?
Not for recyclables. We sell that stuff. We love it.
Okay.
If there's no further questions, we'll move on. Mike Hattery.
Pardon me to read your revenue side right. You're projecting to expect the price for recyclables to be increasing.
Yes.
What is the main driver that would make it so that we wouldn't be able to reduce our annual fee?
Well, there's a lot of variables there. I mean, energy costs is one thing. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that would, you know, cause that annual fee to go up dramatically. I mean, again, we're energy dependent on a lot of our costs. The flip side of that, our prices for the sale of recyclables is up because energy costs are up. So we recoup some of that through that process. There's always a balance between costs and what we receive in revenue. So I can't answer your question. I don't know.
Thank you again. If you're ready to move on, we'll go to the airport. That
Thank
is
you.
Page 40 in your big book. Welcome, Bob. While people are getting settled, at the end of Bob's presentation, we'll take up the resolution, fourth one, which is D, so you can get that out and look at it. Go ahead, Bob.
You have a synopsis of the airport budget. We're expecting an increase of about 2.7% over this year's budget. All the usual allowances for increases in salaries and energy costs are included in that budget. There is one thing that is addressed by that resolution that we'll look at later on. We are planning for an increase in the passenger facility charge. For those of you that don't know what a passenger facility charge is, every time you buy an airline ticket, you pay, in Ithaca, you pay $3 passenger facility charge, and $2.92 of that comes to Ithaca, and we use it to offset debt service. In response to a request from the airlines, you know the airlines are really hurting because of the price of oil, and they approached me several months ago asking, you know, to do whatever we could to reduce their fees in Ithaca. And the increase in the passenger facility charge from $3 to $4.50 is in part response to that request. It will generate about another $100,000 or so, which we can use to offset more debt service and lower the airline rates and charges. So actually what it ends up being is that we can actually lower our rates and charges to the airlines by about 6.8%. That's a slight increase in the landing fee, but a reduction in the terminal rental of about 19%, which is a significant drop. That's further improved by the fact that as of October 2nd, we'll have three airlines, and the joint use space is then divided up amongst three airlines instead of two. So in addition to the 19% drop, those fees for the terminal are divided by three and reduced even further. So they should be very pleased with that. Capital projects for 2009, again, because we have large projects going on this year, the local share of that is fairly significant. Next year, we're down to a much smaller outlay, things like a new snow plow, a disabled passenger lift, replacing terminal roof tiles, fairly small projects, so the local share of that is small. We have a very exciting project coming up next year, which in conjunction with CNS, we're hoping to launch the first green master plan for airports in the country. And I'll be bringing
you the first what?
Green master
green.
Plan.
Looking at everything from top to bottom to try and reduce the carbon footprint, and a lot of that is emerging technology, but we're going to investigate it as far as we can and do whatever we can in our master plan to make it as green as possible. And that's about all I have for you.
Thank you for holding the line without not having to include local taxes. Questions? Frank Proto and then Martha.
Two questions for you. Do you think the potential there's a potential loss in ridership, if you will, if we raise the passenger facility charge?
No. Every airport, just about every airport, charges a passenger facility charge. And
no, I'm talking about the increase.
About 90% of them are already 450.
I've got it.
So I don't anticipate any loss of...
Okay, second one is airport security. Are you billed somewhere on the white pages for airport security?
Yeah, included in those numbers, and this is a significant blow to us, but I want to let you know about that. I'm glad you brought it up. The fee that we pay for law enforcement for having Sheriff Meskel's law enforcement officers in the terminal is only paid for by the federal government to the tune of about 65%. So included in those numbers is about 70,000 of unfunded LEO fees that we've had to absorb this year and we'll have to absorb for the next 3 years.
Bob, can you say what line that's on? I'm sorry. Or maybe Steve or Norma can.
I don't have a copy of it with me, so.
Is that sheriff and other governments? Is that 42260? It's the what?
It's a TSA.
Under revenue on page 43.
I have page 42, Norma.
Thank you.
That's the reference I find to the sheriff. Is that the one? In
44392. It's on
page 43.
42260, Norma. I think Frank is looking at.
That was what was in there last year.
And it was moved down to
the airport security and TSA. That's only a portion of what the cost is, though.
Where's the expense side of that? TSA contract, it's line 54487, on the expenses on page 42. So it's the difference between those two numbers.
Those two numbers, right. What's getting reimbursed?
Okay, so we've got $240,000 offset by $151,490, and the balance is, you assume, is reimbursed by the feds?
Yeah.
No, the balance is absorbed by the airport and paid for by the airlines.
So the $151,000 is the federal money, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. To pay for $210,000.
Correct.
$240,000 or
$240,000.
$240,000.
I have.
Thank you.
I think I had Martha next, and then Carol, then Will.
About the PFC, is that per flight? In other words, is that per flight? So if you've got a round trip ticket, you're paying it twice or once?
No, it's only once. You just pay on departure.
On departure, okay.
Unless you're going to Philadelphia.
Then he drives.
The rule is that you can pay as much as two in either direction. If you've got a three-leg flight, you can only pay twice. They don't charge you more than two.
Okay, so that's an increased cost directly to the passenger. It's going to allow you not to raise the fees to the airlines. Is that what
in part? Yeah, it's $1.50 per passenger additional, and that will generate in excess of $100,000, which will lower our debt service and therefore lower our rates and charges. In part, I mean, there are other things involved in it in lowering the fees.
Okay.
We expect to get revenue, obviously, from Continental in landing fees and other fees, so that will lower it as well.
Okay, thank you.
Carol, then Will, then I want to move on to our Resolution D.
On this item, as it came up at F&I, as I understood it, the passenger doesn't pay it as they walk onto the plane. It included as price of your ticket. The airlines pass it along or pass along the payment. And then the airlines separately still decide what to charge for your ticket. So,
correct.
You know, it's just we get the fee. My question, I'll echo the thanks for running this all so efficiently and at such a beautiful airport. At a level that sustains itself. My question is about the contracts. On the listing of contracts, you've got quite a few listed as unknown. And it would be helpful to have those filled in particular, because I think one of them achieves some of our aim of having some of our contractors achieve gender and racial diversity.
Well, we always try for that anyway. They're unknown because we probably have to bid them.
There are lines from past years as well that still say unknown, and there's one, two, there's five of them.
And if you could give me the specifics of what the services are, I can probably tell you.
Advertising marketing consultant, electrical repair,
website
update, annual report.
They probably all exceed a certain dollar amount. It means we have to go out for bids, and that's why we can't give you a name at this time.
Can you give us a name for the... they're listed under 05, 06, 07, 08, as well as 09. So it's not just upcoming. It looks like these were the same consultant or contract as a prior year.
For the advertising?
One of them is the advertising.
Yeah, that just expired, so...
Carol, is your question who was the 2008 vendor, or who? Because Bob just summarized that the contract actually just expired. They're going to put it out to bid.
Okay. Well, I don't need it right this minute, but it would be helpful to just have a listing back to us of
who they are.
Who they are.
Okay.
The others are listed.
Okay. And Wilbur Bank.
Yeah. Ditto's on the praise for an operation well run. I was delightfully surprised this summer flying in that I didn't have to deplane and walk across the tarmac, but I could actually walk through a tunnel directly. I don't know if that's on all your flights or just some of the flights, but
it's there for any flight that wants to use it.
Okay, so it's at the discretion of the pilot. I am following up on Frank's question. Did I hear you correctly that our current contract runs another 2 years on the security through TSA to maintain the security, and that we are mandated to provide this level, but only partially reimbursed? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we used to have a 5-year contract that was fully reimbursed. That was called a reimbursable agreement. We started a cooperative agreement last October, and that only reimbursed us for about 65%, and that's why we have the big shortfall.
Steve?
And it lasts for next year, begins in October, federal fiscal year, so the second year is starting in October this year, and it's another 3 years after that.
And the mandate is for 12 hours? Presence,
it's for whatever the flight schedule is. It's approximately 14 to 16 hours, I think.
Okay. Steve Butcher?
The levels of security for the number of hours is mandated. The level of security officers is not necessarily demanding the sheriff's deputies. There are other alternatives. Okay, so that's an election by the airport.
Well, that's not true, actually.
Yes, it is.
All right. Then.
We'll have this conversation subsequently. Are you ready to move on to Resolution D? Frank Porto, on the...
I can hold it for the resolution.
Okay. Authorizing an increase in the passenger...
Mike?
Carol.
Yeah, I have a question about this as well, because this did come up at F&I, and there was some discussion about whether we are mandated, to what extent we're mandated to... guard the airport up to it, the levels of fear that are built into the system. And if we have some discretion over that, that would be a policy issue.
Let's have
I would want to know about
the county administrator speak with the airport manager, come up to a consensus opinion, and they can inform us, because at this juncture it looks like they have a difference of opinion.
Will do.
Move on to Resolution D, authorizing an increase in the passenger facility charge at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Who'd like to move that? Frank moves it. Dooley seconds it. Are there questions? Frank Proto.
A question first, Bob, and then a comment. The back of the write-up that you gave us indicates that it's going to take several months to talk this over with the airlines. Have those discussions already begun, at least in anticipation?
We've initiated the request for a meeting, and... once this resolution is approved by the legislature, we will go ahead with a meeting, which I think is scheduled for about November the 7th. We're anticipating that would lead to being able to pick up. And then, of course, they have to let all the airlines know. So we're expecting it to begin around the 1st of February 2009.
For collection. Initiated the 1st of February for collection.
Right.
The reason I asked that out loud, and it goes back to something Carol had asked, with all the committees that I've been on, the airport, the construction committee, and chairing that committee was one of the most pleasant I've ever chaired. And I just want to remind this board, because I don't think many of you, Dooley perhaps, and Mike, were even here when we did this. The passenger facility charge was one of the major contributors to building that airport. Not one nickel of local tax money went into the construction of that terminal. It was all done with grants, the participation of those percentages that you approve from time to time, and the PFC and a number of our elected officials on both sides of the aisle. So, as long as the airlines are okay with this and we're not going to lose any passengers potentially, I think it's time to do it.
I'll remind folks that we're talking about our second enterprise unit. We still have to get to highway and facilities. Dooley Kiefer.
Well, I voted for this at F&I, and I'll certainly vote for it now because I seconded it. But when I reread it now, I realized that there is a certain ambiguity in the next to the last whereas, because it says, provided for the ability to impose a 4 or 450, a PFC of 4 or 450 in addition to the existing 1, 2, or 3. And that makes it sound additive, conceivably, and that's not what is meant. So I'd like to propose wording that says instead, whereas on April 5th, 2000, the Wendell H. Ford Aviation Investment and Reform Act for the 21st Century, Air 21, provided for the additional options of imposing a PFC of $4 or $5. And then the next whereas would say the airport wishes to change its PFC from $3 to $4.50.
Are those friendly to the mover?
Yes.
Certainly it's friendly to the seconder. Okay.
That so just clarifies it.
With those changes, are we ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Any further questions on the airport budget, base budget, or anything else? Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to the highway, which is page 4 and 5 in your OTR pages, page 20 in your big books. Bill has given us a summary of the budget, which is the one-page summary, and then we've got the page and a half of the landscape data. Welcome, Bill.
Good evening. What I would like to do on the 2009 budget summary, I'd like to clarify down here, it goes, however, asphalt prices have increased 50% in the last 3 months. That amount that it's gone up is $30.02. The cost of asphalt is currently $82, so it really has the fee and fuel escalation fee is significant. And on the highway services pricing, just to give you an example of surprises that we get. Corrugated steel pipe, 16 gauge, 24 inch. Today I got a quote from a local supplier, and it was $22.47 instead of $16.10. Mm-hmm. So as you can see, the prices are just fluctuating considerably.
Yeah, you're
is there any questions on this document that I submitted for a summary?
See, your bituminous concrete's gone up almost 400% in 4 years.
Yeah.
It's still,
I guess,
still shooting up. There's no questions on the documents. Martha?
Yeah, it looks like we should do everything we could possibly do with sand. What was the price you just said? Asphalt prices have gone up what?
It's gone up from May to August. It's gone up $30.02.
Okay. Thank you.
So on to the budget
yes.
request and budget recommended. One of the few budgets that have some negatives in it. So
The first OTR had to reflects increase in price cost of sand, salt, and additional per ton fuel charges. I can't project where it's going to go as far as the salt prices and fuel prices, but it's significant.
Questions on that OTR? Martha Robertson.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by the numbers. I thought maybe I'd figured it out, but are these two related? You've got two equipment rental, two places where equipment rental shows up. So I think this is a Steve question.
Yeah.
It's probably enormous.
On the second OTR, it reflects the prices of the equipment rental rates due to the increase of fuel costs in automotive supplies. We do our rental rates for our equipment per New York State, and they just came out with new rates.
Rental rates are not leasing from another company. This is an interfund transfer process that sets the rates, and it's a mechanism whereby the department is maintaining a reserve fund as they use a piece of equipment. They're paying it into a fund so that they have the money available to replace that piece of equipment. So that's when they talk about rental rates. There's also rental rates among municipalities, too.
Yes.
Okay, so is OTR 66 on page 5, does that relate to the white page 24, line 54424? Those numbers match up, and then...
Which
on page 24, kind of middle of the page, it's the equipment rental.
54424.
Yes.
Okay, and then on the OTR 67, that's the next page in the white book, I think, towards the bottom.
Highway materials, which would be 54312.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the equipment rental is the next line down, the two lines down.
Norman, do you want to try to explain and walk us through this?
If you guys can figure out the highway budget, that's really good.
okay.
If you don't mind for just a second, Bill, I just want to explain to them how these accounts work. The D fund pays the DM fund. The DM fund is the that's what I said. I'm not sure you really know all this. There are accounts in one fund that pay the other fund that has most of the expense for equipment rental and has the expense for purchasing vehicles. It also holds the expense of the majority of the fuel. Okay. But the way this system is set up, you have money coming from the general fund that goes into the D fund, and from the D fund it pays this other fund that holds most of these expenses that are equipment rental. So when you're seeing these transactions, I was truly trying to simplify this, but there's actually three transactions. For everything that happens in the highway budget, there's three transactions. So the accounts look like equipment rental. In some cases, it's affecting purchasing a vehicle. In another line, it's affecting highway materials. So the narratives in this case are clearer than the line items.
Okay.
Could we ask the most simplistic question possible? The department comes in with an OTR of 500,000 and walks out of the room with a negative 230,000. Can you explain that?
That represents a fund balance subsidy rather than a tax, because the general fund transfuses its resources into the D fund. Rather than increasing the general fund contribution, you are reducing the fund balance of the D fund. If you look at the fund balance sheet, you'll see that the D fund's fund balance has increased over the last several years. It's a one-time thing. Now,
that's the blue sheet that was handed out earlier?
Okay. Yeah.
So, Bill, can you live with this? And is this a negotiated arm twisting, or is this something that is sustainable?
I believe that we can live with it. One of the things that's happened this year is we are not plowing the state roads.
Yes.
And we are also taking back some of the county roads from the towns. So I think between the two, I think we can live with this. We've negotiated.
Okay, that's perfectly acceptable. And Norma has a quick summary.
I just wanted to add to that. There are a lot, and I think I said this in the first presentation, I just want to say it again while Bill is here. There are a lot of unknowns with what we've done to reduce the budget related to the contract, the state contract. It's very possible that we are going to have to put more money in this budget, and it's very probable that we are going to have to put more money in the budget in 2010. I just want you to be aware that while the department has agreed to see how this goes, and we know that there's enough fund balance to cover overages right now, you do need to really closely look at this budget next year.
Thank you. I have Will, then Carol.
Sensi, I'm trying to understand the implications of the switch to sand from salt, or the mixture, rather,
okay,
that we're proposing. What will our residents be experiencing in terms of the drivability of roads?
Okay, there are certain implications when you start going to a sand-salt mixture. I'm not saying that I'm using sand-salt mixture all the time. There's certain areas that I have to use straight salt. What you end up with, like enclosed drainage systems, you end up with a buildup of sand, and basically what you're doing is clogging these closed drainage systems. In those areas, we're going to use straight salt mixture, straight salt, okay? There again, at certain times of the year, when you get down below 20 degrees Fahrenheit, the salt-sand mixture is better than straight salt because you have some abrasive quality to the road surface. So it is safer. All in all, we keep the roads as safe as we possibly can. And, you know, people have to slow down to conditions, and it's just one of those facts of life.
In upstate New York.
The bottom line is there's going to be a potential that there will be snow-covered roads when you haven't experienced that in the past.
And Carol.
I understand how you got to the point of the over-target requests being reduced to sort of a negative number. And I support the over-target requests. I understand that the salt prices have gone up and the rental rates have gone up. The question that I have concerns the base budget. Mm-hmm. You've gotten to the point of the base budget being what it is because we've had a plan and that predated me that calls for a certain amount being spent on our roads each year. That's resulted in the highway budget, you know, being almost twice as high as any other single department budget. So the question I have is regarding not the over-target requests, but the base requests, that if the budget is going the way that we think it's going, and if we're experiencing further cuts as the year goes on, is this an area? What are the ways in which this part of our budget would be impacted if we had to cut back on our ambitious, you know, the plan that we set for the new project? We have commitments to projects that have already been started and that are ongoing. What are the new projects that are built into the 2009 budget? Which are the ones
a five-year capital highway project, the plan that the legislature established, and that was changed to a six-year plan because of the storms that we had 2 years ago, okay? Even with the influx of the $1.6 million, a total of $8 million for the capital plan, with the increase in asphalt prices and all other prices that were steel, sand, fuel, et cetera, we're having a hard time maintaining our 7.4 pavement quality index. And our goal is to improve the pavement quality index in Tompkins County. We're having a difficult time doing that with the increase of all the prices of materials.
Can you define the pavement quality index?
Define it? Okay, it's basically, we have a pavement quality program. It's a computer program that was set in place, four, five, 6 years ago. And what it does is, they evaluated all the roads in Tompkins County, and it establishes a priority of what roads need the most work. And through this, we establish our five-year plan, six-year plan, and each year we break it down. And not necessarily the worst roads get taken care of. We do have a pavement preservation plan that we use to keep our good roads good, and then we build upon that by rehabbing other roads and reconstructing other roads.
Right. So I guess what I'm asking is, given the what you've laid out here in terms of the increases in the costs to embark on the plan that we laid out and that we've now extended, given, you know, this list of increases of each of our types of materials we have to use, 227% increase, 199% increase, 200 and some odd percent increase down the line, is it realistic to still, you know, carry out what we were going to carry out this year?
Okay,
and
we have a certain number of roads that are set aside that we are planning on doing. Okay, during the winter, we have other roads that deteriorate at a faster rate. The computer program takes the deterioration and builds that into the program. If we have a road that, for some reason, we have more water on the sub-base of that road and it breaks up, then that road needs attention the next year in the spring. Okay, we have roads that basically come on the list and go off the list. Some roads that get deferred for the future because we just don't have the money to take care of them.
Martha, then Frank.
Well, if you go to page 20 in the big book, you see the staffing summary. And in 2006, it was almost 52, and then it went to 50, and it's now, for 2009, it's under 50 people. In most of our budgets, personnel is pretty much the highest number. In this department, we have fewer people, you know, doing the work, and simply the cost of the materials is just out of control. And, you know, they're doing the same or less amount of work, but it's costing much more. So, in a sense, they're having to do less work because the money doesn't go as far. And I think that's where they do ditching and things. When you run out of asphalt, you've got other work to do. But I would also point out, Carol, that the chart you're looking at is local share. And, you know, the highway. So, in a sense, when people say to us, you know, it hasn't been this bad this year, but in the past they said, you should stop doing all the extra things. Only do the things that, you know, that you really have to do, like the roads. And, of course, that's one area that's not mandated. It's also an area where there's very little state or federal partnership, and we've seen even the partnership that we've had from the state and feds get stretched and you know, funds denied that we used to get. So I understand where you're going, but it's a complicated
issue. Ed, do you have a quick response?
If I may quickly respond. Two things you need to remember about the highway system, and to some extent it applies to facilities as well. If you defer spending money on a road, you don't just end up spending that money later. You end up spending that money times multiples of two or three sometimes, because the road deteriorates to a point where you might have been able to get away with a thin layer of pavement, and now you got to reconstruct the whole road. And the difference in cost between those two options is huge. So money not spent on roads may cost you many times what you saved in a future year. The other thing is liability for safety of the highway system. If we don't maintain our system to reasonable levels of safety of maintenance, and you know it deteriorates to the point where someone can ascribe an accident to that, that will affect our liability. We have a responsibility under law to maintain a highway system to a safe level of maintenance. So those are two factors. Before anyone thinks about this is a big number, I know it's a big number, but it's not a number you really can wisely tinker with too much, and we probably are going to need more in the future.
I have Frank, then Will.
Optimistically, how many miles of new construction, newly constructed road, could you plan to do each year? Optimistically, how many miles of maintained or reconstructed road, and does the mileage include a lane up and a lane back, so you're only doing a half a mile, linear mile, as opposed to a full mile, or how do you calculate that?
Okay, Frank, what I like to do is, ideally, is I like to do about 30 miles of road a year. That's centerline miles. We're also, you know, using pavement preservation to save some of the miles. So that's part of the program that we have in place. Is that a reasonable answer? That, you know, a 10-year, we like to say that everything gets looked at once every 10 years. We've got 309 miles of road, which is 618 miles of ditches of some sort.
Will Burbank, and I think I saw Julie's hand.
I'd like to build a little bit on and sort of echo Carol's concern because it is a huge part of our budget. I understand completely what you're saying, Ed, in terms of deferred maintenance can cost you much more. But I also feel that our present system may ultimately not be sustainable. And I guess I would call on – and we're obviously going to make it through this year, next year, whatever. But looming ahead, I'm not sure we will as a, be able to give this kind of resources to this system. And I would encourage all of us to be thinking of ways, smart ways, that we can – you know, maintain what we need to for public safety, for access, for the well-being and economic vitality of our community. But are there ways that we can begin to cut into that base? I appreciate what you've done in terms of this year for the snow, salt, and sand. I mean, it seems like a very smart approach. Are there roads that maybe do not need to be maintained at the current level that we could be thinking in terms of downgrading?
One of the initiatives this is our second year into it, is we're working closely with the towns, and we're taking and saying, okay, local roads are local roads, and we're taking roads that the towns have that are of a higher classification. Let's say they may be a rural connector, okay? What we've got to do is we've got to, the county takes over those, and the towns get back the local roads, and they maintain the lower classification roads, and we maintain the connectors. And a fine example that I think everyone would understand is Burns Road. Burns Road is tying basically if you come down 79 and go down Burns Road and make the little jog at Coddington up over East King, right into a state route, and people are using that as a bypass for downtown.
Right.
So last year we decided to swap roads with the town of Ithaca, and we've taken over Burns Road. It makes more sense, and that's what we're looking at, things like that I think make a lot of sense.
I'll remind people it's 6:45. We're going until 7:30. We've got some major departments still to come, including, well, assessment, but also DSS. I have Dooley, and then Martha again, and Mike Hattery, and Carol again.
Thanks. I think I heard someone say that the local share is big when the feds and state don't do a lot. Actually, the feds and state do a lot, especially the feds do with certain roads. And, Carol, where you and Will may be thinking this is a huge number, it's a tempting target to cut. What Ed said, as gently as possible, we may need more money in the future. There's no question but that everything we defer will cost more, and the roads are also where the bicyclists go. And to the extent that we add any of those amenities, which federal money makes us look at now, and I'm glad it does, we don't want to let those deteriorate, so they're not usable either. I think it's so penny-wise and pound-foolish to talk about trying to reduce our maintenance of these assets, which we're responsible for under the new accounting system for governments.
If people are going to make motions, we'll have these kind of deliberations after the motions. I have Martha, Mike Hattery, Carol Chong, Frank Proto.
You've asked about, you've talked about this, giving back the state contract. So I take it that, and I think I found in the book that we were getting $100,000 of revenue, and it was costing us about $175,000
yes.
to do that. So, good idea. So, are they going to maintain the roads? I mean, are they
the state has committed to maintaining their routes.
Okay. Good. Okay. Thanks.
Mike Hattery.
Yes.
Carol Chott.
I have a question about whether we need to add something to the budget. The whole question that was raised of what the wear and tear will be on our roads from potential gas drilling, if that comes to pass here, is that something that would be up to the highway department? If we have talked about asking our departments to look at what the impact will be, is that
okay.
Do you have room in this budget to do that? If we ask you to
okay, here's what we that? Here's what we have. Okay, my people, my supervisor, my highway crew supervisors are out there every day. Okay, and this last year I've had one drill rig come through Tompkins County. And what they have to do is they have to get a permit from us. And on the permit, it says that if there's damage on the roads, that, you know, they will take care of it. I've only had a few, very few cases where we've had contractors do damage to roads. And every time, they've always had a bond or they've stepped up and done the repairs.
Okay, you know, I'm not asking necessarily what the effect is now. It's just given the magnitude of the million gallons of water per well that might come in, do you feel like you need something in the budget to look at the larger scale, not what the...
No,
what
I don't. The million gallons of water comes in on 5,000 to 6,000 gallon trucks. Those trucks that are hauling 5,000 to 6,000 gallons of water are similar to your fuel trucks that are out there, the tractor trailer type, and you know those loads are going across our roads every day.
And last question, Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. Don't forget, one of the maybe unwanted consequences of not maintaining the roads, besides all the usual things of work, getting to work and public transportation and whatnot, it could have an unwarranted or an unwanted consequence of people not wanting to live in certain places and arguing Valeria, their assessments lower because of poorly maintained, inadequate transportation. And I think Bill is right about the liability question and the concerns there. But I have a question that may be more for Ed than for you, Bill. Have we ever pursued a payment in lieu of taxes from either the university or the college or both because of the increased traffic due to both of them and their non-property tax, in a lot of cases, contribution? To apply it directly to the road maintenance?
I think the answer to that is indirectly, and the $10 million Cornell Transportation Initiative, I believe, may have come about in part because of that.
All right.
It doesn't do exactly what we would want in every case, but it is a contribution to projects in the community.
I think that should have been mentioned. Thanks, sir.
I'll remind people as we transition to facilities that if you have requests for voting meetings, please get them to Norma so we can begin to schedule those for next Monday. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, all the staff. We're going to move on to REL and facility, which is page 2 and 3 in your over target request books, and page starting with page 14 in your big books. Welcome, REL.
Hi. I wanted to thank first the legislature. For the last couple of years, you have provided funding either one time or target to address deferred maintenance starting from 2007. We requested $400,000. We received $400,000 one time. For this year, for 2008, we requested $400,000, received $50,000 in target, and the balance was in one time. For 2009, in the budget, we requested $300,000 because we already had $100,000 target in our base budget. Of that, the county administrator is recommending $100,000. although we, in the presentation that was done at the beginning of the budget, I think Norma indicated that we would like the entire $300,000 that is requested. We have committed all the funds in the last couple of years for towards deferred maintenance. 2007, we've spent just around $600,000, which is $200,000 is our base budget plus the $400,000. This year, we don't see any problem in spending the entire $400,000 for deferred maintenance. Next year, what I have planned for deferred maintenance exceeds what we're requesting. It's more like $800,000 in needed improvements to address deferred maintenance that vary between HVAC system replacements, fire alarm system replacements, roof replacements. And in addition to that, we've got carpet replacements that, as you recall, for 2008 budget, that was eliminated about $160,000. And those are the things that most departments request, when are we going to replace carpets? We've done very small projects over the last couple of years, as you may have noticed, at DA's office, planning. We did some project for the court system at the old courthouse. But these carpet replacements are for buildings such as the mental health building, the old jail building, and that are significant in cost. I don't see them as a safety issue, although the replacements that we've done in the last couple of years, we've done because there were safety issues, seams, unraveling of seams and such. So in the 2009 budget, we have the same $160,000 for carpet replacements that we don't think that we can do because there are other greater needs, as I've mentioned before, for HVAC roof replacements and fire alarm systems. So I would urge you that if there is additional funding, either one time that you can dedicate towards deferred maintenance, that we could surely use those funds to maintain our buildings at an acceptable level.
Thank you for your overview. Julie Kiefer.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Did you say you really need $800,000 in deferred maintenance, but you asked for $300,000 and you've been given $100,000? And so if there's any more money we could give toward that in one time or whatever, it would make sense.
Correct.
I did understand.
When Ed put together a 20-year capital plan, we were looking kind of a level about $400,000 a year, realizing that the needs are greater, that if we felt we could get that amount, that over time we could chip away at the deferred maintenance. What's happened is that we've put off, like last year for 2008, we put off certain things. Other things in the last year became a higher priority, so we had to defer those items to latter years. When we look at deferred maintenance, we look at the service life of our systems, and so the systems are due for replacement. So by deferring it longer, we are take the risk of having to do an unplanned replacement, where we have to replace a boiler that fails. We had that occur at Building C. So we do not want that to occur, because what tends to happen is that either we have to shut down a building or an area to do that. So we would prefer planning those things ahead of time. These deferred maintenance needs have exceeded the service life by 5 or more years. Roof replacements, we've exceeded the warranty period by 5 years in the buildings that we're requesting for next year. Fire alarm replacements, the buildings that we're looking at replacing, the parts are obsolete. So when we have a failure, it puts the building at risk because we can't find replacement parts for those systems.
Any other questions for Ralph? Frank Proto, then Martha?
RL OTR 65, talking about the HVAC.
Yes.
As I read the write-up, it says these service contracts are required to ensure the installed energy measures, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
If they're required, why is this an OTR?
Well, when we did the energy performance contract, we received some NYSERDA rebate money in the order of about $100,000. We used that funding to offset the first 2 years of service agreement costs. That expired. I mean, that money only took us through the first half of this year. So from here on out, we have to, you know, we have to pay $62,000 annually. Now, in order for Johnson Controls to guarantee the savings, it just makes sense that we have to be maintaining those systems at an optimal level. So that funding that we're asked, we use some of our rollover money to offset the cost of the service agreements, and we're looking, I mean, what we're proposing is a multi-year funding for that, 3 years. When we drafted the agreement with Johnson Controls, we felt that if we could show that we're achieving those savings for the first 3 years, that we wouldn't want to continue beyond that. I mean, the agreement is a 15-year agreement, but it allows us to withdraw at any time. Anytime we stop maintaining the systems, then obviously they can't guarantee the savings. So my reasoning is that if over the first 3 years we're either meeting or exceeding the guaranteed savings, I don't see the need to continue with these service agreements.
But multi-year at that level, $62,000 is being recommended. Further questions? I have Martha Robertson.
So is this a warranty thing? I mean, I thought that there was not in the sense of a warranty. If you know, if your TV breaks, they'll fix
right.
it. But if we showed, if they maintained it, if we kept the service contract, and then if the projected energy savings we didn't realize, then they either pay something back or
right,
do additional mitigations.
Right. The current agreement, we put in a stipulation that if we do not meet the guaranteed savings in a given year, that the county has the option. This is what I added in. Initially, they were just going to pay us the difference. I said, well, that really doesn't help us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we have the option either to take the money, if we need the money, if it's a difficult year, or to do additional energy savings measures to meet that savings goal, so or a combination of both. But they can only do that if we are maintaining the systems. Now, our staff are maintaining several of the systems that were installed as we're doing through the service contracts agreements. I personally don't see the need to continue that beyond 3 years. If we keep overshooting our savings, each year, I don't see the need to continue paying that. Part of that is to do the measurement and verification on the systems to verify that we're meeting our savings.
Okay, so you're saying that we have exceeded the expectations,
yes.
the projections for
the first savings. Year, the first year of the guaranteed savings was completed January of 2000. Of this year, so they presented a report, I think May of this year, which showed that we exceeded our savings. The goal was $217,000. We achieved $230,000 in savings.
Okay, that's in dollars saved.
Correct.
Isn't that confounded by the cost of energy?
Yeah, and actually energy usage, we also exceeded it. The goal in electric was like 1.2 million kilowatt hours. We achieved like 1.3 million kilowatt hours.
I can't hear you.
The goal in electric was 1.2 million kilowatt hours, and we saved 1.3 million kilowatt hours. And natural gas, even though the way they measured it showed that we fell short of the goal of 66, the goal was 66,000 therms, and their measurement showed 60,000 therms saved. However, in our actual utility bills, we've seen a 35% reduction in natural gas consumption pre-project versus like current 2008. So we've seen the greatest savings in our natural gas consumption.
Okay, so I appreciate that. Not being on the committee, I haven't heard this report. So you're okay with this, that we don't the way I understand this, that we're not continuing the service contract with Johnson?
No, this is requesting a multi-year It's a multi-year request. I think it's three years. So after 3 years, and I would revisit that. If I feel that, you know, our savings are just coming close to what they're projecting, I might say let's extend it for another year. But I don't see the need to extend it for the full 15 years, which is what our agreement is with Johnson Controls.
Okay. And you're okay with this?
Yes.
The way Steve has decided it?
Correct.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to Frank, and we're almost 50 minutes behind schedule. Assessment's been waiting patiently, and Social Services is behind them.
I'll make it quick, or else. OTR, the same one, 65, the HVAC. As I look through the large page 14 and then page 15 in the white pages, we are maintaining one general maintenance supervisor, two maintenance mechanics, two HVAC systems technicians. Costs are well over $150,000. Aren't any of those people properly trained to do the maintenance on this for 2 years so that we could avoid this expenditure?
No. I mean, these are controls. It's a high-level technical, and basically Johnson Controls sends their techs to training for several weeks over a year. We don't want, and that's in the programming. Our techs actually service the systems, I mean, the air handling units, the variable speed drives, the programming, as far as making adjustments to the system. We do that with our staff, which back 10 years ago, the staff that we had then really weren't even computer literate. So this is at a higher level of technical support that I'd have to pay our techs quite a bit more money to get that level of expertise in our organization. Just to put it in perspective, 9 years ago, a maintenance worker was covering about 33,000 square feet of total buildings now. Now our per maintenance worker, we're covering 58,000 square feet. So it's almost doubled our responsibility for maintaining the facilities, because we've added buildings to our inventory, but not added staffing. So our staff are very, very busy. So to answer your question there, that technical support is not something that I'm looking to have internally because it would cost us more.
Well, just a rhetorical question, though. I'm thinking that if someone were trained to the level that you're describing and we'd retain them, they'd be more valuable to us as an employee. So if they command a few bucks more in salary, we'd have them for a longer period of time, and we could save some of this money, and it would enhance their own credentials.
That's a rhetorical question. We're going to move on to assessment.
Thank you.
I have to say something.
Sure, Pam.
The level of questioning tonight shows to me that there's something wrong in the way we're doing this, because people have fundamental questions about what's going on in departments. You know, these are budget meetings, and we should be talking about OTRs and keeping a very focused meeting, but we aren't able to. And I don't think it's because we necessarily lack discipline, although maybe that's in there too, but I think there's something else going on. I think it has to do with the amount of knowledge that we feel like we need to have about each of these departments that we don't have unless we're on the program committee. So I would like us to keep that in our brains or somewhere so that after we go finish this budget process that we can talk about this, because it's a real concern. And to say nothing of it can be a little frustrating when you're trying to move through a budget process and people have serious questions. And so I just lay that out there because I feel that tonight was a particularly intense night of that kind of discussion and questions.
Carol, quickly, and then Martha.
Yeah, I just want to thank you and urge people to look at page 4 of the report that you handed out. which I ripped out.
Oh, the annual report.
This chart is beautiful and getting to the root of the kind of questions that we are trying to ask, to put in context the OTRs in the context of the work that they do. And I'll just suggest an answer to Pam that it may have something to do with the fact that it's been a very long time since the county has done a look at each department and the basics. And that's why these kind of questions may be coming up, in addition to it being a tough year.
And Martha.
And maybe it makes sense to have, you know, once a year or so, you know, in between January and August, each department come to the legislature for a 15-20 minute presentation, just kind of update where we are.
Happy to do that. I have plenty of graphs and charts that
right.
I love
and
doing.
I have to ask another question.
Sure.
And you know, this is our chance. So pages 18 and 19, there are your contracts, and you know, electric utilities, you know, went up another, it has really gone up and down, but it's up, and then various materials and supplies vendors was $760,000 last year, now $550,000. You know, those are just two big numbers, and I wonder if you, you know, have a quick answer about what's going on with those.
It's on page 19, about halfway down the contract, various materials and supplies vendors.
So page 19, the number on the right-hand column is $550,000. I just go and look at the big numbers on these contract lists. But so what's anything that jumps out at you as to, of course, those really bounce around.
The reduction, I think, is because we're getting $200,000. We'd requested $300,000. We're getting $100,000, so basically $200,000 less is what's being recommended, although we'd like that additional $200,000 in our deferred maintenance.
I see. So that's kind of where deferred maintenance, that would,
yeah,
I see.
Okay. We have an account called building repairs.
Last year you had a health department, some emergencies at the health department.
Thank you all for your patience. Thank you, Valeria. We're going to turn to page 14 in our over target. Thank you, Ralph, for your presentation, your backup data. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Cheryl. We'll move on to Assessment Department, page 14 in your over-target request pages, page 86 in your big books. Welcome, Valeria. You can either do a general overview or you can go straight to the OTRs, as you prefer.
So I have undivided attention here.
Yes. And no media, so we really can have a
yes. Break. Actually, I just wanted to make it short on our part as far as the presentation goes, because we are here, I mean, I'm here representing the department and asking for $30,000 approximately OTR for maintaining the minimum staffing level to do annual reassessment. If I use Rouse terminology to put it into perspective, 22 years ago when I came on board, we had 14 people working in a department doing cyclical 10-year reassessment. We do annual reassessment and a lot more demand on everything than it was back 22 years ago. So I don't know how to any more clearly to justify that, but to do annual reassessment, we cannot function below 14 minimum staffing level. So that's what the last year, I appreciate that you appropriated enough funding for us to do the revaluation. You created you supported a position, an additional appraiser position that we already terminated this year. Instead of waiting till the end of the year, we already terminated in order to preserve some funds so that we can function next year better. If you look at all the county administrator's recommendation, we cut everything to the bare bone. So I
Can you live?
Welcome your questions.
Can you live with that recommendation? You're getting recommended at roughly $30,000 target funding to maintain 14 FTEs. Is that livable?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. I have a little hearing.
At the county administrator recommendation,
yes.
Is that livable for your department? 14 FTEs, $30,000 target.
Right.
That is okay for you sustainably.
Right. We have to live it in that. Yes, we can do that.
You can?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Questions? Mike Sigler.
Can we move that 14? Because when we moved the triangle, we didn't cut any employees. So didn't we have 14 before we started the triangle?
Correct. Now, you have to remember the triennial assessment is no different than doing the annual. So we are in, we try to preserve that 14 for the annual.
Mike, if you look at page 86, you have a staffing history.
So,
other questions? Dooley, did you see your hand?
No, but I was going to. I cannot follow why the request at roughly 50,000 is okay being granted at 30,000. I'm missing something.
The administration went through the budget with assessment. We just said, what can we do? Where can we cut? How can we modify this? This is too large a cut, too large a request. What things can be done? And we came to an agreement that these modifications could be made and the department could live with those reductions.
And Larry has just said yes, that that's at the bare bones, but will do everything they can to maintain 14.
It is, and then I mean to make it clear that the $30,000 OTR will hopefully help to preserve the $150,000 maintenance aid. If we don't get the OTR, we can do the annual reassessment, and we lose $150,000. So
Being recommended at a target level. Are there other questions?
So that means the reclassification request will go forward?
I don't know the answer to that.
What reclassification?
Am I reading the wrong thing?
On the yellow sheets.
On the yellow sheets it says...
If this reclassification is not funded...
Reclass to a real property appraiser.
In other words, this is not an additional staff person, it's a reclass?
My understanding is that the staffing request will be honored, but they found savings elsewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the reclass will go forward, but maybe there's other places in the entire department budget they found a decrease, ability to make some decreases in target funding.
Like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what staffing request. I mean, we're not adding any person, so you keep going through as a staffing request, and I'm not sure why.
Reclassification.
I'm just reading it as a reclass, right?
If you look under page 86, the second job title is Assistant Real Property Appraiser. It's going in from 2008 from 1 to 2009 to 0. If you look...
Correct.
Okay, so we're losing an assistant real property and reclassing that person as a real property appraiser.
Right, and that was a civil service exam, and that the assistant real property appraiser is doing exactly the same work as the older real property appraiser, so by civil service law, we have to compensate equally. So that's basically that. I have roughly 46, about $6,000 difference in a pay scale on a working rate.
So why is that $6,000 going to cost us $30,000? I guess would be my basic question. Why would that $6,000 reclass cost us $30,000, which is what we're asking? Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's just the reclass in OTR 74 Priority 1. It's maintenance effort for the entire department.
Okay.
Dooley.
Excuse me. I'm looking down the administrator's recommended lines, and $4,000 less for fuel, but I'm under the impression that assessors drive around a lot, and that's going to still have to happen. And I see membership dues down $1,000, but when I look in the white book, I don't see a decrease in $1,000. So in the details of who,
yes, yes,
what you belong to. So I have trouble just reconciling this, and I don't want to take longer now. I will look at it further and try to understand it, but I'm having a problem with it.
I understand. It's not intuitive. I think that there's some agreement here that was discussed before it was presented, and we're trusting the department head at their word that they can accept this level at target funding and don't make whatever accommodations they have to make it succeed. Other questions for assessment?
Of course, I misread a line, too. That's bad.
Thank you, Valeria.
Thank you.
We technically have about 15 minutes left in this meeting. We will do our best to continue to honor all the questions for the Department of Social Services. If we have to run over, we will. Welcome, Patricia. Welcome, Tom. We're going to turn to pages 40 and 40 through 44 in our over-target request pages, and 201 in our big books, 41 through 44. You can do an overview. You could focus on OTRs. You can do a song and dance at this point. You can entertain us. We are at your mercy.
Great. Actually, I did want to take this opportunity to have a captive audience to say that my reappointment is up on November 10th, and I want to thank everyone for having the opportunity to serve the county for 5 years. And I also want to say that in the Department of Social Services, the staff you have there is phenomenal. You have a resource there that you have to be proud of. I could not be there, and it could really run on its own, but I still need the job. They know what they're doing. They look after the people in this county. They're working with the most vulnerable people who day to day don't know whether they're going to have food on their plate, whether they're going to have electricity, whether they're going to have heat. They don't know whether they're going to go into a nursing home or be able to stay in their apartment, and the staff at DSS work very hard to make people's lives better. I just wanted you to remember that, and I hope to see you on November 11th. In terms of, you will notice that we have had over the years an increase in staffing. To some extent, that's due to the fact that Medicaid funding has allowed us to hire staff with no local share. All of our positions, all the positions that we have added over a period of time, have had state or federal funding to support them. Everything that you have put into our budget are positions specific to the needs of the department and your constituents. You've added a housing specialist to deal with the homeless services issues. You've added a paralegal to deal with some Medicaid fraud issues. You've added an employment specialist to deal with our participation rate concerns. You've added Child Protective Services and CPS staff to deal with our caseload standards that the state has mandated. I think we've done a really good job of managing the need to add staff and take into account that we want to have the impact to the taxpayer as low as possible, and then balance that off with the services that we're providing so that we don't come to you with a huge over-target request. So I'm going to move on to the over-target request, and what I will say is that we can accept the county administrator's recommendations. We believe that we can figure out a way to absorb what he has chosen not to fund. The priority one are contracts that he has approved $80,000 for our priority one. That was, just so you know, that last year that was an over-target request. That group of contracts was an over-target request, and you funded those one time last year. So it's not like they're new initiatives. These are part of our standard preventive services programs, but I think we can figure out a way to live with the $80,000 recommendation from the county administrator. With our the other
overtime pay.
No, the other one that he's recommended is the project assistance. We have found that to be an extremely helpful program to us. It allows us to bring in staff who might not have had the opportunity to enter the civil service system, and it allows us to do some training and have them placed around the department in different places to support, like the HEAP program. It allows us to bring someone in to teach them how to do social welfare examiner work and then encourage them to take the social welfare examiner test. So we found that very, very helpful, and the county administrator is recommending funding that. So the other two requests, I think we, three, the cars, I think we can absorb those. We've looked at our budget, and I think we can absorb those. And I know everyone... Every department's hurting right now, and we want to try to take the burden off of as the taxpayer and other departments as much as possible. That's my story.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Frank Broden.
Congratulations on surviving almost 5 years.
Thank you. This is surviving, yes. Yes.
Earlier in the process, as a matter of fact, it was September 8th, we were getting into a discussion about items that appeared in different places on the within the budget that it wasn't clear to us where some of them were.
Okay.
And we had that charting section of our budget. Norma was kind enough to prepare or have prepared. It says the Frank Proto request. I don't know what else the title is. But it was distributed to all the legislators. And there were items on here, assigned counsel, finance department, county attorney, et cetera. It shows social services department increased revenues of $500,000. Can you explain that one? Or maybe, Tom, can you explain that one?
I believe I can. I believe 3 years ago now, the state implemented a change in how Medicaid costs are shared between the federal, state, and local governments in New York. We discovered early this year that both in the 2008 budget process, 2007 budget process, and during 2006, that we had under-budgeted our reimbursement for Medicaid administration. That was not evident to us in the first 2 years that these new rules were in place, because there were other areas in which state and or federal reimbursement were declining. But we had an enormous amount of rollover last year, and upon examining the various factors that contributed to that, we identified that we had for the last 3 years been under budgeting that particular revenue source by that amount.
So that became added income to the department by billing?
No, it's not a question of billing. We don't provide services and bill Medicaid as a medical provider. Our Medicaid administrative costs have to do with determining client eligibility, and a small amount of costs have to do with overcoming obstacles to getting care, whether those involve transportation or paying for interpreters, things of that kind. So it's not a billing issue.
Is it related to the Medicaid cap?
It is. That's the change that I was referring to that took effect three years ago.
Tom, or Steve, does the county anticipate coming into $500,000 in added income as a result of this?
We've already taken that into account.
Yeah.
So the answer was yes?
Yes.
Martha.
It's just that the rollover showed up because they hadn't realized,
they hadn't
booked the income,
right.
The extra reimbursement. So.
And to the department's credit, they were, they immediately just turned their rollover back to the county.
That's why Patricia is a survivor, right?
That's why she goes around smiling all the time.
Yeah.
Any further questions for the department? There are some OTRs not being recommended, but Patricia says she can live with them. Dooley Kiefer.
Your OTR 24 included a target for vehicles, and it's recommended at zero. And you had just said that you think you can absorb the items that the county administrator is not recommending. But your description of the vehicles that need replacing is rather compelling. And I wonder whether we should, I guess I'd like to hear from you how you're going to replace these vehicles, or are you not?
I don't believe we'll replace them. We will repair them and keep them going as long as we can.
Given my concern with fuel and air emissions, if we could find a way to put one-time money in, you could then act on some replacement without us changing our tax levy. Yes. I'm talking to my colleagues now.
That would be accurate, and that would lead into my reminder that if there are motions to be made for any departments, please let Norma know. Any other questions for Department of Social Services? Martha Robertson.
Dooley, I appreciate you asking that one. I think we should really look at doing that kind of thing wherever we can, because I was at a meeting today of the Climate Protection Initiative, and the Planning Department came and presented the draft comprehensive plan element. That was really one of the big points, is that if, you know, the sooner we can all, as a community, individuals, government, et cetera, replace the clunkers, the most clunky of our, you know, of our cars. I mean, Gay Nicholson has a cash for clunkers, you know, phrase there. The sooner we can make some progress on emissions and carbon footprint. OTR 22. I want to know, Steve, your comment there about that you've asked for an explanation of the 18.2 positions. Did Patricia's earlier just rundown of where staffing has come from handle that? Explain
no,
that.
No, I mean, Patricia, I'm going to push you a little bit. Okay. There's a dramatic increase in staffing, and it's usually one of the focus points. I warned Patricia this would be an issue, and they hit it right up front. But, Patricia, the way you worded that was that there was state aid for these positions. Do you mean that the normal 70%, or do you mean that those are 100% funded, and you were very careful in selecting those positions?
The increases, some of them are 100%, probably, what do we figure, 15 of them are 100%. Others are, and that comes from Medicaid, it comes from our CPS enhancement funding. Others are, we got a DCJS grant, so we've got some county funding that's matching that. Then we have some other positions where there is a county share. Those would be when you authorize the housing specialist, there was a county share for that. An employment services for the participation rate issue. That is a social welfare examiner, and there's county funding there. So they're not all 100%. There is some county share for some of them. The majority of them were no county share or a small amount of county share, and they were in our budget proposals as positions that we needed and that you approved as we moved along. So what was your question, Martha?
Well, I wanted to know whether Steve's question on that note was satisfied by what you said at the beginning of your presentation. And it sounds like most of it, well, I mean,
yes.
How did you fund the positions?
So yeah. Most of them are fully state funded because we went over the Medicaid cap.
Yes.
If there are no further questions, we are going to be heading into voting meetings next Monday. Are there any questions about process, procedure? Frank Proto.
I just want your reassurance that if we don't submit items to Norma by tomorrow, we still have an opportunity
yes.
to do that.
The reason for that request is to respect our department heads for at least the first meeting, if not the first two meetings, so they can begin to plan on if there's a motion regarding their department. They will we can try to schedule that time frame so that not, all 27 department heads aren't waiting here through every single meeting. It is also courteous to give a heads up. If you plan to do a motion regarding a department, run that by the department head. You do not have to. It's just respectful. Generally, after about our first two voting meetings, we can't often predict what our motion sequence will be, and department heads are aware of that, and we'll do our best to alert them probably in a shorter and shorter time frame as those come up. And then we'll go into revisits, and essentially in revisit meetings, there is no sequencing. People can make decisions as they see fit. Any other questions about process? Martha?
I may have topics I want to talk about, but can't say that I have a motion.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I think we just want the department head to be available for that topic if the question comes up, even if it does not turn into motion. My preference, and this is obviously Nathan's call with the administration, to sequence the larger questions, both content in terms of controversy or dollar amounts, early, and then plan on how much time those might take.
Well, one thing I would like to ask for is, we talked about this earlier about lifelong and COFA, and if you could come up with what would Plan A cost and what would Plan B cost.
Yes.
If we went ahead with, if COFA went ahead, if lifelong.
I understand what you want. This part of the answer is already in the capital program, but I just have to talk to Ed about it and see how much he's already got incorporated. That's why I haven't given you definitive responses yet.
Because I thought at an earlier meeting you said it wasn't in the capital budget.
That project specifically was not in the capital program. There's a facility, I think it's courthouse complex or something like that. That's
downtown
complex that's $4 million or something like that, maybe $5 million. I know when I said to Ed, I thought part of that was COFA, and I believe he said no, we were planning to rent space. So I want to talk that through with him. That's, okay.
So in other words, if you could give us what the two plant,
Since I mean, I just don't want to give you something and then have to give you something totally different. I know what the rental would be. That's not hard to do. But the other, I have to wait and find out what COFA is really talking about.
Right. And my point is that early on, in if that's something we're like 90% sure we're going to have to do something next year,
mm-hmm.
And we have at least what the minimum number might be in our head before we start voting on other things. We may not know
but
about lifelong until
But it makes a big difference whether you're talking about capital money or whether you're talking about ongoing money.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your patience. We know the extent of this meeting. Frank Proto?
My question or comment is about the individuals going to NYSAC.
Yes.
Because people are leaving
tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow.
Some, I think, tonight.
This is nothing to do with the budget process, but it has to do with the board, the direction that the board may or may not have given. To the best of my knowledge, this board has not passed a resolution given direction to anybody going to NYSAC to act on behalf of this county.
Correct.
They are going strictly to gather information or whatever.
Correct.
The reason I mention that is in the past we have had some board members put themselves out as representing the county on issues. And I want to make sure that is not the case because we have not sent that message along with anyone.
That's an accurate summary.
Thank you.
Thank you all for waiting so late. Thank you, Tom and Patricia, particularly. I didn't mention at the end that accommodation was very healthy for our budget.
Mike and Mike.
David Squires is a senior manager on duty tomorrow until 2 o'clock.
All right.
Okay. Watch out.